Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You will be dealt with eternally, like I stated, but your honor, Judge, I'm asking that this demon be respectfully returned back to hell as soon as possible. That's what I'm requesting through the court. Please return him back to hell as soon as possible.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ashley Banfield. This is Drop Dead Serious. Every so often, a story comes across my radar that it just makes me give my head a shake. And then I start to ponder a little bit deeper. And I ask myself the same question over and over. How many are out there? How many sadistic and psychopathic killers are out there right now, just lurking in parking lots and on the streets beside your parked car, on jogging trails, around college campuses, in stairwells, in the woods, maybe behind your home? I'm looking at you, Brian Koberger. And maybe most importantly, online. How many cruel and evil killers are just waiting to pounce? How many of them are waiting on us unsuspecting innocent victims? Maybe out in public, or maybe right there on your computer screen, connected to you through the millions of different ways we all connect online. Maybe right there on your phone. I often wonder how many people are listening to my podcast or watching my shows and are wondering the same thing that I am, until they themselves become victims, because I have a feeling that has happened. In the decades that I have been covering true crime, how many people have been watching and thinking this happens to other people, and suddenly it happened to them? None of us is immune to true crime. Maybe it's why we are all so invested in it, because we just keep wondering the same thing. Where is the next killer? And who is the next victim? Could it be me? Is there something that I can do to see him coming and maybe make sure I can get him before he gets me? I do not think that Sade Robinson was thinking of any of these things. I think she was just living her life like any other 19-year-old college student. Sade was living in downtown Milwaukee in Wisconsin, and to say that she was bright and beautiful and full of life, that is an understatement. And she did what pretty much all of us do. She went online and she met a guy on a dating app, and he seemed great. He seemed cute. He seemed up for anything. So she agreed to a date, because that's harmless, right? We all do that. She told her friends how much she was looking forward to going out with him, Maxwell Anderson. And by all accounts, Maxwell Anderson seemed like the ideal guy. He certainly said all the right things. But first dates can be deceiving in so many ways. Some first dates are great. Some go sideways fast, and a quick excuse and you're free and clear. But Sade had no way of knowing what was about to happen on this first date, and the kind of guy that Maxwell Anderson would really turn out to be. Sade had no way of knowing that this first date would be her last date ever. That this first date would be her last day on earth. Police would soon find her burned out car, and within days of meeting up with Maxwell Anderson, they would make a series of gruesome discoveries. They would find Sade piece by piece, a leg, an arm, bits of her mutilated body turning up all over Milwaukee County. I'm going to take you through everything that we know about this case, the disturbing evidence, the explosive investigation, and how Maxwell Anderson stayed lurking in the dark. That is, until he didn't. Sade Robinson, 19 years old, was a student at Milwaukee Area Technical College, and she had her whole life ahead of her. But in March of 2024, she met Maxwell Anderson. And 1 week later, on April 1st, they went out for drinks at a place called The Twisted Fisherman. The friends were expecting to hear from Sade afterward to see how the date went. After all, she had really hyped it up, and she showed how excited she was to meet this guy. But when Sade didn't check in afterwards, those friends got worried, and their worry turned into panic the next day when Sade didn't show up for work. Nobody seemed to be able to reach her. Their calls went unanswered. Their texts went unanswered. And by midday on April 2nd, Sade was officially reported missing. Meanwhile, not far from downtown Milwaukee, and completely unbeknownst to Sade's loved ones, the first signs of something horrific, something out of a real-life nightmare, were beginning to surface. Earlier that morning, on April 2nd, police got a call from a passerby at Warnemont Park, a lakeshore bluff above Lake Michigan. That passerby spotted something in the sand, something that didn't look right, something that looked right out of a horror movie. It was a human leg. It was a severed human leg in the sand. And later that same day, police got another call, this time about a car that was fully engulfed in flames. It turned out that the car was registered to Sade Robinson. At first, the investigators did not know if the burning car and the severed leg that was found along the shoreline were connected. But within days, DNA testing confirmed the worst. The human remains belonged to 19-year-old Sade Robinson. But the discovery of Sade's leg was only the beginning of a gruesome series of discoveries all over the county. In the days that followed, Sade's other leg turned up, along with part of a foot. Those remains, if you can believe it, were found near a playground. And that playground wasn't far from her burned-out car. Weeks later, a torso washed up on the shoreline of Lake Michigan. And then an arm. But even before all of Sade's remains were recovered, detectives were hard at work investigating what happened to her. And suddenly, they got their first big break. One of Sade's friends told detectives that Sade had the Life 360 app on her phone. It's a GPS tracker that logs your every move. And that app told one hell of a story. It traced her steps from the last night that she was alive straight to Maxwell Anderson's home, making him the obvious focus for investigators. From there, detectives followed the other major lead, the burned-out shell of Sade's car. It had been fully engulfed in flames when first responders arrived. But as police pulled surveillance video from nearby bus stops, cameras belonging to the Milwaukee County Transit System showed a man walking away from the smoldering car. He was dressed in dark pants, a gray hoodie, and he was carrying a tan backpack. Those very same cameras followed that man as he boarded a city bus and rode to a stop right near Maxwell Anderson's home. Minutes later, neighborhood surveillance cameras caught that very same man slipping through a back gate behind a home just blocks from where Maxwell Anderson lived. And then there was the informant, a person who told police that they had been inside Maxwell Anderson's basement, actually only weeks earlier. And what that informant described inside Maxwell's basement sounded like a scene straight out of Hollywood, like the movie Saw or the psychological thriller Dexter. It was nothing that anyone would ever believe unless seeing it with their own eyes. Throughout Maxwell Anderson's basement, there were three saws and a plastic tarp, a tarp that covered the sink, the floors, the walls, even the ceiling. That informant told police something that left them in shock. Maxwell Anderson told the informant exactly what he planned to do. He planned to kill Sade Robinson, dismember her, and scatter her remains around the city, according to the informant. 2 days later, April 4th, 2024, police made their move. By then, investigators had compelling evidence that Maxwell Anderson was both the person seen next to Sade's burning car and the last person known to be with her before her body parts were discovered throughout Milwaukee. Police stopped him in his SUV just blocks from his home, and he was cuffed and taken into custody right there on the spot. Within hours, detectives had search warrants for both his home and his vehicle, and what they found pretty much seemed in keeping with what the informant had told them was in Maxwell's basement. Stashed throughout this house, 5 different knives. On the speaker in the passenger side of his SUV, a blood-like stain. They also found women's clothing, including a bra and underwear, all of it hidden under basement support beams, in the garbage, and even inside a wall foundation. The word basement doesn't even feel accurate here. The whole thing looked more like a makeshift sex or torture dungeon. They also found a handgun case with ammunition and a holster, but they didn't find a gun. Perhaps to nobody's surprise on the investigators' team, the preliminary forensic test results came in, and they confirmed that Sade's DNA was found inside Maxwell Anderson's home and on his clothing. It was a match, investigators say. It was a match that cemented their case against him. And with that, detectives had what they needed. Maxwell Anderson was charged with first-degree intentional homicide, mutilating a corpse, and arson. He pleaded not guilty, but like any case, the slow march to justice just kept coming for him. And in June of 2025, he was hauled before a jury. But before we get to that jury, and trust me, you're going to want to hear what happened with this jury, I want to tell you what really happened to Sade Robinson. The prosecutors in Maxwell Anderson's trial painted one hell of a picture for the courtroom, and chilling doesn't even begin to describe it. Inside Anderson's home, they said Sade was rendered helpless, incapacitated, out cold. They said he groped her, stripped her naked, and that by 12:45 a.m., Sade was dead. Within minutes, Anderson was on the move and had Sade's body with him.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And I know you might be wondering, how on earth would anyone know all of that? How would anybody know what happened in that secret house of horrors? Because killers usually like to operate in secret, covering their tracks, leaving no trace behind, but not Maxwell Anderson. No, lucky for all of us, lucky for prosecutors, lucky for police. They said that they know what happened inside his apartment because Maxwell Anderson told them so. Not with his words, but with his pictures. Photos on his own phone, documenting that part of the night. First and foremost, they showed pictures to the jury that depicted a sex dungeon in Anderson's basement. There was blood on the walls. But terrifyingly, and this is something I'm still, just bewildered by. The blood wasn't Sade's. Which leaves me, and probably you and all of us, to imagine, were there other victims that he'd brought there? Tortured, maybe mutilated. Other victims who now might be missing people, or worse, aren't even known to be missing yet. One of Anderson's photos showed a woman's bare backside, with her jeans and her underwear pulled down, the same clothes that Sade was seen wearing the night she went on her first date. Another photo showed a woman wearing a cream-colored sweater, just like the one Sade had on that night. She was lying on a couch identical to the one in Maxwell Anderson's living room. And in that photo, his hand is seen grabbing the woman's exposed breast. And prosecutors say it was the same breast that was later found among the dismembered body parts. Prosecutors walked the jury through all of this macabre evidence, step by step. The Life 360 data that tracked Sade straight to Maxwell Anderson's home. The surveillance video tying him to her burned-out car. Sade's DNA found inside his car and on his clothing. And the grim trail of locations where pieces of Sade's body were found. Prosecutors also told the jury that to this day, Sade Robinson's head has never been recovered. When it was the defense's turn, naturally they pushed back, arguing that there was no proof Maxwell Anderson planned to kill Sade, no signs of a violent struggle, and no attempt to flee. Instead, the defense tried to plant a different seed, that maybe Sade's death wasn't Maxwell Anderson's doing at all, but the work of quote-unquote bad elements in the community, somebody else with a motive. And to support their argument, the defense pointed to what police found inside Sade's apartment, a pink safe containing suspected meth pills, a small amount of marijuana, and nearly $900 in cash. But the jury, they weren't buying it. In fact, maybe it was that defense's argument that sent them over the top. Because when it came time to deliberating whether Maxwell Anderson was guilty or not guilty of this despicable set of crimes, this jury did not struggle with the question at all. On the contrary, it took them less than an hour to unanimously decide to convict Maxwell Anderson on all of the charges. After the trial, four jurors spoke to a reporter from TMJ4 News about all of the graphic and gruesome evidence that they had to endure and why they found Maxwell Anderson guilty. Take a listen to what they had to say.
Would it be fair to say, like, at this point, now that it's over, that there's maybe a sense of relief that you get to now move forward? Or what are you feeling on your heart now that that verdict has been read publicly?
Lighter. Definitely lighter. Just, there is a sense of relief. You know, at least as much, we've done as much as we can for the family. At least they know where he's going to be riding for the rest of the time, for the time being. But for me personally, it's like, you know, you saw some things you never planned on seeing. This wasn't TV. It wasn't a movie. I just want to be able to get some stuff out of my head. And honestly, I mean, I'm at that age. I have issues sleeping already. But I'm like, I had this trial just kept popping up at the weirdest time in my head. I just could not think about it. So I'm looking forward to pushing that in the back, you know? That's all I can really say about that. Right.
Just seeing some of that evidence and some of those photos and videos.
Especially the photos. Those last days when they showed that photos and just thinking through it through my personal lens of, you know, male activity and certain things. But when you see that, I'm like, nah, that's something different. I've never seen anything like that from any of my friends, male associates, anything. And like, evil. That's the only way I can describe it. Certain things, when you see it, you're like, that. You know, when they say you'll know it when you see it, and you'd be like, yep, yeah, that's evil. That's all. That's the only way I can have to describe that. Yeah.
It stands out that you said, like, this is not a movie. This was real life.
It didn't look like special effects. It was, like I said, when you just saw those pictures that was, like, found on his phone, that was just more nails in the coffin, you know. Like, there was already enough evidence that had been presented. I was pretty sure where I was going to stand. I was waiting for the defense to perhaps give me a reason to be like, okay, maybe not. That didn't come, but I'm like, there's no way they're going to, what are you going to say that's going to change how I feel about having seen those photos? And it was nothing presented that could have, that was going to change that.
Can you talk to me just about, you know, the deliberation? Was everyone on the same page? What was that process like? Did it surprise you how fast it went? Did it take longer than you thought?
It definitely surprised me how fast it went, but there was a lot of discussion. It was not an easy thing by no means. There was multiple people that we, you know, had to discuss things through, but ultimately, Sade, the evidence, and our common sense brought us to a conclusion.
At sentencing, Maxwell Anderson stood before Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Laura Crivello. But instead of apologizing to the family and the friends of Sade Robinson for the horrors that he had brought upon their loved one, instead of begging for mercy from this judge, Maxwell Anderson went the other route. Maxwell Anderson continued to insist he was innocent. But Judge Crivella wasn't having it. She told him, quote, his view of reality differs from the rest of the world, end quote, and that his crimes were, quote, unconscionable and something out of a horror novel.
But who is a person who would do this crime? You know, what's the character underlying that? How can someone get to a point of inflicting such damage on a person, not only killing the person, but then dismembering? And then after that, discarding the body throughout the community. It's unconscionable, is where it comes down to. I have to look at whether you're remorseful, and I don't think you're remorseful in any way. I don't think that you have gotten to the point of taking any form of responsibility for what transpired. So when I look at the character of the defendant, I find the character wanting. When I look to the severity of the offense underlying this matter, I do sit in homicide court. And I can tell you on a daily basis, you don't understand why things happen. You know, almost every case, the victims come in and they want to know why. Why did it happen? Why did you have to do this? Why did you have to get to that point? And more often than not, there's no answer. We never know. It never makes sense. There's never, never do you walk away and say, oh, I understand why that transpired. It just doesn't happen. I can also tell you that, you know, I've read through all these letters and they talk about give us justice, right? Give us what's due. But I can't give you justice. There's no way you will walk out of here, no matter what I do today, and high five each other. There's no way you walk out of here and you say justice is served, because justice would be having Miss Robinson back to you. Justice would be having her with you for the rest of your lives. And you never get that. You know, to hear about her, she was an innocent victim. You know, she was a girl that I would hope all young ladies strive to be. You know, to hear about working two jobs to reach her goals, to be going on for schooling and further education. But then to hear about how much she was loved in the community by almost everyone that touched her. You know, it was interesting to go through the letters, because I got the letters that were from who I expected, you know, the mother, the father, the sister, the loved ones. I also got a letter from the real estate agent that worked with Ms. Scarborough. I got a letter from citizens. And I can't tell you, I really debated whether or not I would share this, but there was a letter from a citizen that doesn't know Ms. Robinson, never met her. And this is what he said, or she said, I don't know. The person signed it as Stargazer. In pertinent part, it says, Sade Robinson was not a torso. She was not evidence. She was a full, living, radiant human being. She had dreams, plans, and a future she was building with pride. She had people who loved her and that still love her, more than words can hold. And she had a right to live, to breathe, to laugh, to grow old. That right was stolen in a way so vile, so deliberate, that it tears at the fabric of what we call humanity.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
You, Maxwell Anderson, didn't just kill her. You carved her, and you discarded her like garbage. And you tried to erase her body from this earth piece by piece. And for what? Not even you had the courage to say. You sat there in court as if you were a man. You didn't snap. You planned. You didn't panic. You dismembered. And still you offer no answers, no remorse, no ounce of dignity that you stripped from her. But here's what you couldn't take. You could not mutilate her soul. You could not silence the scream of justice. You could not prevent an entire community from rising up in Sade's name. We know who she was. We know what she could have become. And we will not let your darkness define her. To the family, there are no words that can hold the weight of your pain, but I need you to know we see you. We mourn with you. We love you. You have the right to tears. You have the right to rage. You have the right to every ounce of justice this system can give. May you feel her arms in the wind. May you hear her laughter in your memories. May you know that she did not die forgotten. She died loved. And we will remember her always. Maxwell Anderson, you are not the center of this story. She is, and she will always be. Sade Robinson lives on in light, in truth, and in love. And you will be remembered only as a man who tried to destroy something beautiful, but failed. You know, I thought that was beautiful. And I think that it shows the impact that this had on the community. You know, that took time and effort and thought, and I think it put together a lot of what the community felt. So going back to what I need to look at, in formulating a proper sentence, I need to look at the character of the defendant. I need to look at the severity of the offense. You know, to take away a child is horrific. You know, you wouldn't wish that on anybody. To have a child not outlive the parents is a horrible thing. But not only did you extinguish her life, but you hid it, and you hid her body to be found. And I can only imagine every time a news report, every time something clicked that another body part was found, how it had to just re-victimize this family, how it had to just be like another shot to their soul. I can't imagine how horrific that had to be. And yet, I wonder which was worse, the not knowing in those first days where she was. You know, I can't even think of a word, horrific. It's beyond imaginable for a parent to think of not being able to know if your children are dead or alive, and then to learn that they were dismembered and disgraced to the extent that this poor girl, her body endured, is beyond understanding. So the severity of the offense, I'll agree. It's It's definitely at the top of some of the worst homicides I've seen in this court. Looking at the impact on the community, I read that letter because I thought it stated to a great extent what we're here about. You know, what my job is to do, it is to hold you accountable and to punish you. It is also to protect society. And that's about how do we figure out if at some point you're redeemable? How do we figure out if at some point you will change your mindset? You will get the therapy and education to be at a point where you will be safe to have in the community. Now, part of that goes into the fact that you don't take responsibility. You know, I listened to the evidence. I watched what was introduced during the course of the trial. There is no explanation that I've heard that's valid as to why you would be walking away from that burning car. You know, those photos were not of a girl in a video enjoying life. Those photos of you grasping the breast that was ultimately shaved from her body, with her face plastered into that, I don't recall if it was the ottoman or the couch, the way that her body was positioned, there's no explanation for that.
And then the judge dropped the hammer. Life in prison. No chance ever for parole. We call it toe tag parole on this podcast. It means you're not coming out of that institution unless there's a tag tied on your dead toe. The judge also sentenced him to an additional 7.5 years for mutilating a corpse and 1.5 years for the arson. And if the judge's words weren't devastating enough, the victim's impact statements were the nail in his coffin. Sade's mother, Sheena Scarborough, stared at her daughter's killer and called him a demon.
I am the mother of Sade. I've raised my daughters. We are lightworker people. We are very angelic individuals. For us to even be here, I'm going to have to ask. I wanted to go before my daughter because I need her to be protected by this heavy demonic energy that is residual in this courtroom, this devil and his entire demonic family in this courtroom. It's very heavy to where I can't even talk. But Your Honor, I am asking that everyone in this courtroom be protected through the white light by this devil that sits beside. My daughter referred to you as a man. You will never be a fucking man. You're a pussy-ass bitch.
Ms. Scarborough, if you could direct your comments to me, please.
Yes, Your Honor. First off, Your Honor, I would like to thank you and the entire team for what we all had to endure, which was it was freaking torture to even have to be dragged through what we were dragged through. This demon and his whole ass attorney, they knew exactly what he did and what he was responsible for. They took us through extreme agony and pain. We are already dealing with so much trauma. There's no such thing as justice with what you did to my daughter and what you have done to my family. I have bust my ass for over 20 years to raise the best possible angelic lightworker kids that do nothing but good. My daughter had to cross your demonic path. You plotted and planned to kill this member. Then you disrespectfully spread my daughter across the Milwaukee like a piece of trash. How dare you? There's no way in hell we should have even ever went through this freaking trial that you drug us through. You knew you were guilty. You're negligent, mammy and pappy, them demons. I'll deal with them later. But I want you to know that you can no longer hurt my baby. She's in heaven. She's protected. We roll deep. My ancestors roll deep. When you touch my daughter, you fuck with the wrong family. We ain't no pussy bitches, and you should have never touched my daughter. My daughter helped everyone. She fed homeless. She worked two jobs. Everything Adriana said. The community knows who my daughter was. Everybody knows who my daughter was. How dare y'all even pull that whole shit about that meth? You will not drag my daughter's name down trying to plot and set up stuff. You gonna carry my daughter's name the correct way in her legacy. You and your family will be held fully responsible for the rest of your life. You will be eternally haunted by myself, my ancestors. I know you cannot sleep at night. They have already been at you. You will never get peace. You will never sleep. My daughter is a hero. She has saved so many other women from this demonic serial killer that there's no telling how many more people that he has killed. If you had any type of decency, but you are a devil, if you had any type of core piece of anything left in your demonic soul, or if your parents, your devil parents, had any type of respect, I don't even know how they could sleep at night, knowing what type of demon son they raised, and then tried to cover it up. Y'all tried to flip that house. Y'all done did so much whole shit, it don't make no damn sense. All y'all karma is going to be a bitch. And I'm getting each and every one of you eternally. I'm getting the whole entire family tree. Know that. Your sister, all them, each member of your family tree will be eternally hunted by my ancestors. We're light workers. I don't even have to touch you. The spiritual realm already been at you. I can see it in your eyes. You can't even sleep at night, you hoe ass. And you will be dealt with eternally, like I stated. But your honor, Judge, I'm asking that this demon be respectfully returned back to hell as soon as possible. That's what I'm requesting through the court. Please return him back to hell as soon as possible. No possibility of life without parole, the maximum. Maximum. And this devil should not be given any more special millionaire privileges being held in certain populations. He needs to be, not he, but that devil needs to be placed in a population with the rest of the demons that harm and hurt individuals, the murderers, the serial killers, the felons. You are not on no special privileges. Your money is not going to protect you. It's a done deal. Shadi's justice is just now beginning. And you and all of your family will eternally pay for what you did to us.
Her father, Carlos Robinson, was even more blunt.
My daughter was an amazing person. She lit up every room she walked into. She changed my life from her birth, literally changed my life. She gave me a reason to think more of than make me realize life is bigger than myself. We had an unbreakable bond, me and her. Talking to her was like talking to myself a lot of times. I used to tell her she was the innocent part of me. People lose their children. That's sometimes a part of life. I understand that. But to lose your child in this manner is unthinkable. I've tried therapy and all kind of treatments, and nobody can help me get through this process, because everybody says nobody has ever been through this. What he has done is inconceivable. And to know that there's a chance I might not even have her completely to be able to put her at peace brings me night terrors and constant mental chaos. I can't wrap my mind around it. Somebody that does something like this doesn't even deserve. I think death is a way out. You deserve what you get. He deserves the punishment that he gave to my daughter. Everything that he did should be done to him. That's how I feel. To me, that's justice. I don't feel like he has a right to walk around and breathe air, eat breakfast, brush his teeth. He doesn't have that right. He the moment he done what he did, he lost that. Basic human rights. No man should be able to live doing what he did. That's just how I feel. And I try to make peace because I am a man of God, and I try to do learn forgiveness. But I can't get past this. I can't.
The pain in that room was raw. The rage, that was real. But the victim's family and friends weren't the only ones who were there. Maxwell Anderson's father was also in the courtroom, and he decided to speak at the sentencing too, and you could have heard a pin drop.
On behalf of myself and my family, I'd like to say a few things. First, to Sade's family, there are no words that I can share that will reduce your pain. You are all in my thoughts every single day. Although it is not the same, having lost a boy that was like a son to me 10 years ago, I have some sense of what you are feeling. It took me a very long time to get past the pain that I felt for the person that contributed to his passing. I'm not asking you to forgive anybody or anything. That is between you and your God. To the court, in particular, to Deputy Allen, to Judge Crivello, thank you for your compassion and all of your professionalism. To Max, we want you to know that we love you and support your plan for self-improvement. In this, we hope for a path for you to become a positive influence for society, both while you are incarcerated and hopefully after. Thank you.
As is always the case, the convicted killer gets a chance to speak too. And not every murderer does it. Not every killer takes the court up on the offer, on the privilege. But Maxwell Anderson did, and what he had to say was rich, especially given all the overwhelming evidence against him that was laid bare during this trial.
I would like to start by saying that from the bottom of my heart, my deepest and most sincere condolences go out to Sade's family, as well as everyone else affected by this tragedy. That being said, Your Honor, I took this to trial without ever once trying to make a plea deal of any kind because I did not commit these crimes. And so I plan to appeal my convictions while I hope and pray that further investigations not only prove my innocence, but find and deliver true justice.
Anything else you wish to say?
No, ma'am.
You know, it goes without saying, as the prison doors slam shut on Maxwell Anderson, this is Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And this horrendous crime conjures up lots of memories in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Like Jeffrey Dahmer memories. The Milwaukee Monster. That's what they called him. Jeffrey Dahmer had at least 17 victims, but likely more. Jeffrey Dahmer was convicted of not only killing, but the horrifying dismemberment of 15 young men and boys. Jeffrey Dahmer's crimes may have gone beyond these crimes. He was convicted of necrophilia, cannibalism, preserving body parts in his fridge. We will never know if Maxwell Anderson killed more women in that seemingly vile sex and torture chamber. We won't know if he did any of the same things that Dahmer did. We do know he's in the very same place. And we do know that he ended up in the very same place that Dahmer did, behind bars with other inmates. And lest we all forget, Jeffrey Dahmer didn't survive prison. Jeffrey Dahmer was murdered behind bars, just like he'd done to his victims. Anderson, in the meantime, still claiming that he's innocent. And all the while, her family member will have to live with the fact of what happened to Sade, and the fact that Sade's head has never been found. I'm Ashley Banfield. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. And remember, the truth isn't just serious, it's drop-dead serious.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.